It's August 27th, 2006. A Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
What from Pedro Show. August 27, 2006 edition. We were hearing Too Much Junk by the Alley Cats, a song picked by today's guest. Well, today's a very unusual show, I got to tell you, because, we're not at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point with Brother Matt. Instead, we're in Watts Pad. Well, shortly Watts Pad, because I'm going to be out of here in a couple blocks away in a couple weeks, or maybe next week. Well, the week after I get back, I got to do some more Stooges gigs. But the guest with me today here in my pad is old-time friend, Richard fucking Bonney. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mike Watt. What's happening?
Glad to have you aboard, and you picked that song there. You found something at Georgie's old stash? Or?
Treasure Trove at Georgie's. Actually, I didn't find it. His roommate Kenny found a bunch of old singles in a box that Georgie thought were gone years ago. So we're not going to tell him. We're going to sell them on eBay and pocket the money.
Oops.
I
gave you a little crunch there,
yes,
son.
Yes, you did.
Anyways, the mic, you got to face it.
Anyways, these are all Georgie's.
Okay.
45s that we found, and there's some really good ones. Some of this stuff has never even been opened or played.
Wow.
And that was one of my favorite bands back in the day.
So I'm using an old turntable that hasn't been used for a long time. We don't have the pristine Brother Matt stuff. He took it to Burning Man. He's away burning away.
Hopefully he doesn't burn it up there.
For Labor Day. And, I should tell you, we started the show off with Trinkle Tinkle, John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. Some good stuff like that, which I'm always digging. His buddy found him. Georgie's not even aware you got this.
No, Georgie has no idea that we have these. Yeah, Kenny Landon. Okay. Got to give a shout-out to Kenny, because he's got a few more, too, that I still have to go through. But, yeah, this is stuff I haven't seen since 17th Street days, I think.
17th Street is this pad that Georgie lived in. Across from the high school, and
right.
Where the reactionaries and Minutemen started. Right.
A lot of
the
lot
shed
of
in the back.
Shed in the back. Plenty of kids.
Yeah, now, we should talk about that. Because Georgie, me and D. Boone knew him in high school. He's a very popular cat.
Especially with the boys. No, just kidding, Georgie. Just kidding.
He's
Georgie.
A surfer, a popular guy like this. And,
all around nice guy.
But me and D. Boone, kind of weird fringe type. You're a couple years behind us?
Yes, 2 years.
2 years. All
2 years.
Because I meet you at the...
Haas.
At the Haas, which isn't a block and a half from here?
Not even half a block,
right.
If you count the property.
Right. The San Pedro Peninsula Hospital, which is called Little Company of Mary now?
I think so, yes. Some Catholic.
Yeah, but in those days it was a doctor's hospital, and I was a pot and pan boy, and then you came into the kitchen.
I walked into the locker room, and you were asleep on the floor with the books, and I asked, who's that dude? Who's the homeless guy? Who's the homeless guy? And I think it was Chuck Worley or one of those guys. Walter said, that's Watt. Don't wake him up yet. You were number 3 and I was number 4.
Yeah, we had different stations.
Numbers. We were numbers.
First we do the line to put the chow in, then we do a line to like scrape the dishes and wash them off.
Yeah. It was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
It was fun though. A lot of, you know, working with your friends.
Dana. Remember him?
Yeah, he's still there.
Really?
I'm positive of it.
I mean, this is many moons ago.
Many 70s, 76. 16. Yeah, because I think you were just starting.
76 is when I graduated high
school.
Yeah,
you were starting your first year at Long Beach State, because that's when you had your books, and you'd come in the morning and do your work and fall asleep. Because you worked, like, what, three jobs?
Three jobs.
Something like that.
And man, I remember the hospital was kind of econo. Like,
when
I first started there, it was $1.20 an hour.
Unbelievable, huh? I know. I'd bring home checks, like, 78 bucks for the week.
Just then enough, things were more economy.
Yeah. Well, medicinals.
Medicinals.
You know.
So, Georgie, right?
Georgie.
You got, now, you know me from the hospital.
Yes.
But then the band thing.
The band thing. I knew Georgie. I knew Georgie actually from a friend of mine who lived by him, and I lived all the way across town, which in those, when you're 12, that's like light years away. And I went to visit my friend on 21st Street. Georgie lived on 22nd, and that's how I met the Hurleys. And so as when I started junior high, you know, of course they were already there, but I didn't hang out with Georgie. I hung out with his little brother Stinky, because, you know, like 2 years when you're 13 is like a whole generation away, it seems like. You know, you don't want to hang out with a 12-year-old when you're 14. So, but, you know, Georgie was cool. You know, he always, you know, he wasn't, you know, an ass or anything like, you know, older kids were. So, but then, you know, once high school came around and we all just started hanging out and drinking keggers, and the Hurley brothers got the house on 17th Street after their mom remarried. So it was a cool little place to fucking sneak off to.
Remember the sign on the shed said Olympic bonging team.
Bonging team, yeah. I never made that team. I didn't have the lungs. Didn't have the lungs for it.
But, like, what's the story? This, like, you guys got to clear out? Or...
Yeah. Oh, the story of the... This is before anything, actually. This is... I'd already vaguely knew Watt from the host, like I said. You know, just, hey, what's up? I don't even think we knew each other's names. Just what's happened. We knew our numbers.
I don't think you knew I was a bass player.
No, I had no clue. Yeah. But anyways, me, I think it was a buddy of mine, Mark, and Stinky were back in the shed. And we had like a little keg of beer, and we're just drinking. And door opens, Georgie says, you guys got to clear out. And I got two guys coming over here to play with me. And Georgie had not even been a drummer that long. Within a year, not even a full year, had he got had a drum set.
And he was a surfer, right?
Right,
yeah. He went to Hawaii a couple times and got sick of it.
Yeah, yeah. He just got sick of the whole scene of that at that time. And anyways, he says, these two guys are coming over to play with me, you know? And we're like, yeah, right. Anyways, he goes, really, you got to leave. Well, as usual, we didn't listen to him. And he was too nice to, like, yell at us or throw stuff or hit us. So, you know, he basically just would give up. Anyways, the door opens. Here bounces in D. Boone, Mike Watt tagging along behind him. D. Boone, gregarious as ever. Hey, boys, what's up? Oh, you got beer. Oh, you got weed. You know, because we had told Georgie. Yeah, we had told Georgie, too. We go,
we got
weed and beer. What do they got? You know, like, we trump them. They got a base. Yeah. So, anyways, D. Boone's just, you know, jolly as he's always was till forever. And, you know, Mike
is the first time you met him?
That's the first time I met D. Boone ever. I knew his brother, though, from the Haas, Joe.
Boone.
Didn't know D. And
little brother.
And like I said, I knew Watt vaguely, you know what I mean? And I looked at him. When he came to the door, I looked at him. Like I said, Watt, little skittish, little shy. Kind of like looked at us like, oh, shit, I got to play in front of these guys. Anyways, I go, hey, dude. Don't you work at the hospital? He goes, yeah, I do. Hey, so do you. You know what I mean? So that was the connection with me and Watt, the formal introduction there in Georgie's shed. And like I said, I think you guys played like reggae, like reggae riffs. I remember that. Because everybody did at that time. You know what I mean?
Well, like, we went to see Bob Marley.
Yeah, well, I was there at that show, too.
Yeah,
Marley at the Palace Pavilion.
Yeah, and Martin.
Yep, I went with Paul Anderson, me and Paul Anderson. Yep, Bob Marley and the Wailers, yeah.
But
so everybody was into that riff, because it was simple, you know?
It's
a simple riff, you know, and you guys weren't, you know, I don't know if you called yourself a musician then, but, you know, hey, you're brave enough to do it, you know what I mean? So
trying.
Yeah, you're trying. We were drinking. You were trying and we were drinking.
And then we got Martin aboard, and that became the Reactionaries.
And that became the Reactionaries, and then we were banned from the shed. We were shedless, so we had to go under the house. We got banished to under the house. That's where the bonging team started. Like I said, I was never good enough for the bonging team.
And then
team.
The first gigs were at the Suburban Lawns.
First gigs. As a matter of fact, that last song you heard, Too Much Junk, by the Alley Cats, which was a Lomita, California band, which is a city and a half away from us, that's where they were from. And that's like besides like listening to, you know, mainstream rock LA radio or going to see like Foghat or Blue Oyster Cult or Aerosmith or whoever we saw at Long Beach Arena that week, that's some of the first real live music, like with three bands, like an actual show, besides like, you know, going to Hollywood in our area that we saw live, like regularly those bands.
Yeah, the Lions had a practice pad in Long Beach.
Right, West Long Beach. And I mean that for me like really changed, that really opened up my eyes to like a whole new world. You know, just, you know, everybody has a story about, you know, how you discovered punk or how you discovered bluegrass, whatever music you're into. For me, Suburban Lawn Studios was the place because it was just so, it was new. Nothing like I'd ever seen before, you know, the people, the music. But then again, it wasn't so new because you saw people you knew there, you know, so,
yeah.
And you saw your friends playing, so it wasn't like, you didn't feel like an outsider, you know what I mean? You could walk in with, you know, cut off jeans and, you know, some sandals.
Remember Freddie Camacho brought his mom?
Yeah, yeah. And it was like going to someone's house party, you know, so that was cool, man. That was cool. That's how.
There's a lot of Pedro dudes didn't know what punk was. They'd never been to Hollywood.
They went to Hollywood, but they went to see like the up-and-coming metal bands at the time. But it wasn't
like
even called metal then. No. You kidding me? Even I was like leery to go to the Mask. You know what I mean? I can remember the first to go to the Mask going, am I going to get knifed? And I'm from Pedro. You know what I mean? I'm from like Barton Hill, man. I'm like thinking, wow, I'm out of my element here. But no, it was cool, you know? It was just people like discovering new.
And then we end up playing in Pedro as the Reactionaries with Black Flag. And it's their second gig in our.
Right.
That's before the Lawns gigs.
That was before Lawns gigs. Yeah. Didn't Reactionaries did kind of do a lot of like gigs like. Well, house parties,
backyard
too.
Backyard keggers.
But Flag kind of really, like, gave you that boost, you know?
Right, and it was their second gig as our first gig, and it was at that Teen Post on
Teen Post, two blocks from my house, yeah. I'll never forget that. Getting back to Alley Cats.
They played that gig, too.
I don't know. Yeah, if you watch the DVD documentary, Watt tells the story of
Jamie
that. Yeah, we jammy Cono. He tells the story of that Teen Post gig, and Randy, the guitar player, was taking money at the door, and it was like $3, huh? Like,
yeah.
$3 for
like
four,
six bands.
Yeah, five or six bands, you know.
Descendants first gig.
And I remember me and some neighborhood guys were going in, and we had just paid, and we're still kind of at the door, and these three, like, homeboys from my neighborhood, you know, doing a little investigating, came to the door, and you know, Randy just figured, because they were like Mexican punkers from the very beginning, you know what I mean? East LA, you know, like the Vex and even Hollywood. So, you know, Randy, you know, he wasn't jaded. He was from La Mita. He knew what vatos were.
Yeah.
And he said, like, that'll be $3. And the guy pulled a knife out and stuck it to his throat. And he goes, what was that? And he goes, oh, nothing. Go right in, you know. He's like.
And then the cops end up locking us in.
Yeah.
Because the neighborhood, people start writing on the walls.
Right. People thought, well, we're in the hood, so, well, whatever. Yeah, I never got that mentality of destroying things, you know.
And, yeah, it led to a lot of problems.
It did. It did. It ruined a lot of things, you know, a lot.
Yeah, because later on, De Boon got the Star Theater going.
Right.
Which was a few blocks from there.
Actually, yeah, like a block
and,
away.
I think Duce started some trouble at that liquor store a block away.
King's
away.
Liquor,
and
yeah.
Came in and just beat King's everybody
liquor.
Up.
Yep. It was owned by a black family. It was, and I remember Duce made a couple little racial remarks, you know, and.
He was barrage.
Yeah, they
he's
didn't take
a nice
kind
guy.
Of that. Yeah, yeah, you know, he was drunk and he was in Pedro and he figured that's what you do.
Yeah, that's where we meet Dirk. A comedy played Star Theater.
Oh, I didn't know you met Dirk there. I didn't know. It was at Scar. Yeah, that was Jimmy Mack. Jimmy Mack's
he had a
studio.
Dance thing.
He had a dance studio. Bone
the Moms.
Yep. ballet, little
the girls dancing and blowing them off.
Elementary ballet in the day, punk rock at night, man. Shit.
Right, he was called Jimmy Smack.
Jimmy Smack after
with
five.
The bagpipes
after
and
five.
Yeah. That was a trip. That building's gone. They raised it.
Yeah, it's actually like a printing company now or a sign company now. It was a Smart and Final. Oh, no, you're right.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Smart and Final's next door.
It's gone. You're right, Watt. It is gone.
It was a Christian thing for a little while. Solid rock or something.
Give us your money, yeah. Give us your money, we'll pray for you.
So that kind of ended the reactionaries. We
stopped
and became Minutemen later.
Yeah, yeah. And, but, you know, as a lot of you well know, Georgie went on to
Hey Taxi.
Bigger and better humps with Hey
that
Taxi.
Is, his, is that record here?
You know what? I think there is a Hey Taxi in here.
Remember they made a single. Even before the Minutemen.
And, but yeah, Georgie went. And, you know, that band played a lot. I can remember going to see a lot of those gigs before.
Yeah.
Because I remember you left the hosp, so I really didn't see you too much. For some reason, I saw D. Where was D living at the time? I just see D
19th?
A lot.
That's where we started.
Right. And I just go by D's pad on my bike. And but you, like I said, you were going to school. I don't even know if you started your job yet.
I was working
Edison.
At Edison. No.
Had you? Or are you still going to Long Beach?
I was at the parking lot.
Oh, I used to go visit you there on my bike. Remember?
That's where I meet the Rolling Sisters.
Yep.
They're like the first girl punk rockers in Bedro.
Yeah, me and Stinky.
Still in the 70s.
Right, me and Stinky used to bring you Puck and stuff and
right.
And dogs. Yeah.
Right, Pup and Taco. Tony worked there.
Yeah, like 20 tacos. Centers. Yeah, 20 tacos for $2 or something. Yeah. God. Talk about slide right through, man. God damn. Yeah. I know. And or D, remember D worked at Jack in the Box, and we.
Me too.
Yeah. Well,
and then I went from Jack to the parking lot, and that's where he met Nanny.
Right.
Nanny Roland
right.
Worked at Jack, and Lisa Roland worked at the parking lot, and they both talked about these two weird punk dudes. They didn't know that we knew each other. They didn't know we were a band or anything, and it tripped them out because each had stories about the weird punk, because there's hardly any punk
rockers. There was hardly any punk rockers.
So they each had a punk rock weirdo at their work, and they didn't know
it. They were comparing weirdos. They didn't know the weirdos were like,
we went way back. We were weird way back.
Yep, they came as a package deal. Real weird. Yeah, man, those are some trippy days, man. And Deeb worked at Jack Moss on Western, I remember, and he used to throw like a whole, he used to give us like a whole bag of fries.
Well, sometimes he'd work that store there.
Yeah, like
Western.
Like 2:30 a.m., he'd give us a whole bag of fries. And like, I mean, as much as fast food, you can't eat like all that. You
crap.
Never know how much grease is in fries until you get a complete bag filled to the brim, a big bag. Not the little fries bag, the huge
sack.
We'd get like halfway home, we'd chuck it out, man.
The main one was the Gaffney and 6th Street. That's
right,
where we worked.
Right.
Me and him did graveyards. And then I went over to the thing, and then I got him hired over there at the parking lot, and that's where he got the pneumonia. Because the window got broke by a rock, and he conked out. He had graveyard. Actually, he got the pneumonia from me. I had it first, and he was weakened by conking out.
We'd always go down there and get him high and stuff, you know, D? And, like, he's like, so we'd be riding up on our bicycles because, like, none of us had cars, or we'd, like, find somebody for a ride. And we'd see D and the moisture from his mouth was on the window because he'd be leaning up against the window on that stool.
Yeah,
and it'd
right.
be, like,
fogged
all foggy. One side would be all foggy with his head leaning up against that. We'd knock on it. D! What? That'll be, whatever you can say, that'll be, thought somebody was pulling out at 2 a.m. or something.
I remember Pedro dudes, though, even though they didn't know about the scene and stuff, they went to gigs. Remember the Public Image gig when Johnny Rotten first played Adam Barnstock? He had broken his leg.
Oh, Adam Belzy, yeah.
And
insane, man.
Yeah, he stomped his cast off.
A lot of hallucinogenics involved in that one, yeah. Yeah,
remember we'd play those records. I remember you'd go by the 17th Street house and you see a little blue light in the window, and the dudes would be like staring at the test pattern.
That was such the strangest pad, man.
Like the seven or eight guys just glued to the test pattern, their minds all the way chemical open.
Either everybody would talk at once or nobody would talk. You know, stare at each other, stare at lint.
Here, we should play some music.
Okay, what do you want to play? You going to play something?
You got some Husker.
I got some Husker.
I got some stuff here.
Tagged up.
All right, Watt from Pedro's show.
all those words whispered, baby, just as you turn away. I saw you last night out on the edge of town. I wanna read your mind and know just what I've got in this new thing I found. So tell me what I see when I look in your eyes. Is that you? Of our love, God have mercy on the woman who doubts what she's sure of.
From Pedro show. That was some Husker from the old days.
Kicking it old school Huskers.
Yeah, on New Alliance Records, me and D. Boone and Martin Tamborovich's label. I think it's the second record. The first one we put out was their album, Land Speed Record, right?
And it was number 005 on the New Alliance catalog.
Yeah. And maybe that one's 05?
I think so.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it was 005.
Because I thought that came after. And I think Lance B record was 007.
Let's see here. Look on there. I think it says on there.
It says 010.
010?
CG?
Oh, no, there's another one, though. It's 005, I think.
Not Husker.
Not Husker. Well, it's somebody on New Alliance.
Yeah,
005.
It's going to be somebody.
It's someone. Something. It's got to be someone.
Remember, 001 was Cracks in the Sidewalk, and 003 was Chunks. 002, I think, is Slivers. I don't know. Yeah, my memory. Anyway, let's get back
Descendants.
To Descendants. Oh, it was what? The Fatty EP?
Fatty
That's
EP.
Five.
That's 5005.
Okay.
The Wiener Schnitzel. Tribute to the Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah. I like food.
Yeah.
My dad sucks. We got to play one of those.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what we did just play. That was Husker Du in a Free Land. I think it was their second single because they put something out before they did Land Speed Record on their own label. Statues. I remember when I first heard that, I thought it was some Italian dude going, statue. Like right at the end, there's statue.
Yeah. Tell them a story about how you hooked up with Huskers.
Well, they opened up for Black Flag.
Right, right.
And they gave Flag a tape of this gig they did at the 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis. And
Gabe kind of slid it to you guys.
That's right. And we thought it was like Blue Oyster Cult all fast. I mean, people were, yeah, we'll put it out. Talked to Bob, Grant, Greg on the phone all the time. I mean, the old days was so much about, and here they were from Minneapolis. We knew hide nor hair, but just through music.
Yeah.
Became good friends.
And there was no email or internet or, you know what I mean?
I remember the first tours, all with Dukowski's phone book. That little phone book.
Yeah.
Everything was from the phone. But the friends, and same with the Meat Puppets. I saw them in the L.A. Press Club. I told Greg and Chuck about them, and it's weird how the connections were made.
Yeah.
But it was all about
it was
people and friends.
It was all about word of mouth, going to towns, pulling up in the van.
Not being afraid, meeting people.
Yeah. You had cassettes. There was no CDs. Yeah. It was all cassettes, you know. Singles. Mostly cassettes, though.
Mostly cassettes. And what a lot of dudes would do is put a lot of songs on there.
Right.
So you could check out a bunch of bands. Here's the ones I like. Whoa, is this what you're hearing? And then, of course, the fanzines.
Fanzines.
That's one thing where you could actually read about stuff that was made sense in your life, not Rolling Stone. Well, there was no Spin yet, but Rolling Stone made
sense.
Yeah, because
they weren't journalists. They were dudes just like you. I mean, I'm sure a lot of journalists came out of that, but...
No, but a lot of fanzines, dudes were in the bands.
Right.
Totally.
Because there was no other way to get
your stuff. The Touch and Go guy was Tesco V, and he had a band called The Meat Man. But anyway, let's get to the songs. I played, you chose Husker Du.
Yes.
From the New Alliance single. And before that, we had somebody from Australia named Angie Hart with a tune called My Thief. And before that, another Australian, El May with Brilliant Disguise. Well, used to be a side mouse for Ben Lee and on a solo thing now in Nashville, getting something going. And before that was, something I found, Yummy Yummy, and a song called I Am Right. And we started off with Brendan Benson with Cold Hands, Warm Heart. I saw Brendan, he was doing side mouse for Jack White.
Oh, Raconteurs?
Raconteurs, right. They went on before us in Holland. Dutch dude Carlos took me to the Van Gogh Museum. I saw this righteous Japanese.
You've never been there? You've never been to
Van
Gogh?
Yeah, I have, but they had a special exhibition.
Oh.
Because he got really affected deeply by this Japanese art his brother Theo brought. And he started painting.
Uh-huh.
After these little drawings, he felt like they were lids of boxes and stuff, but it like blew his mind, so he started... Spinson was like a big fan of art. He got into a lot of different styles, even though he just painted in his last 10 years of his life.
No kidding.
It was wild. And so this was heavy on, and I guess it was some art show in Paris. They brought all this stuff from Japan in the late 1850s or something. And so that's what this exhibition was about. Of course, it's in the newer part. This round extension of Van Gogh. In the older part, they've got his stuff. And to see his work, you know, the paint,
the permanent
life,
stuff.
Yeah. It's so, remember they brought it to LACMA?
Yeah,
there was a tour of that?
I never been to Europe, but that's probably the first place I'd like to go.
Right. And then next door to the Van Gogh in Amsterdam is the Stedelijk Museum.
Is that the new one?
They're redoing it. So that's moved to some post office, and Carlos took me there on a tram, and there's a bunch of anarchist art from the 60s. So
I got to
spend all day with Carlos, and then we played
a
gig. It was maybe an hour outside of Amsterdam in this reclaimed land. What Holland does is they pump the water out.
Right,
Holland actually grows.
Exactly, yeah. Like our harbor.
Right.
They make land.
Landfill. So this thing called the Lowlands Festival and the... Raconteurs played before us, and that cat Brendan was playing. He's intense music. The drum and bass is from the Greenhorns, a Cincinnati band I've played with. And then Jack, you know.
Five piece band? Four?
Yeah. There's a keyboard guy named Dean, too.
Oh, okay.
And a good gig. And we went on, and I finally, Iggy's hit me a lot of times, okay? Tackled me and. But for the first time, it went down.
He
blindsided me
and
little doll.
Me.
Yeah,
me on the
and
phone about
luckily,
that. Yeah.
he hit me up high, so the knees weren't endangered. And I timbered over. But look, I did not quit playing. I was on the deck, left a huge sweaty pool. But I kept jamming away. And after the gig, he asked me if I was all right. And I said, yeah, don't worry.
Is he a light dude? I mean,
yeah, he's built good.
Well, I know, he
doesn't have a lot of stature.
The few times I stood by him, he's a little man, but he's
a lot of persona.
He's got some definition as old as he is, you know. I mean, people look at these older pictures of him where he's got zero body fat, and he still does, but, you know, as you get older, the skin begins to sag a little, but still, he still looks like he works out in the gym.
He don't, though.
I know.
Yoga.
Yoga?
Yeah. He says, Mike, I hate that gym look.
Well, he looks like the dude
like
hang out at Cali Beaches. You know what I mean?
Well, he's kind of close to that, South Beach.
Yeah.
He's not in South Beach. He's in Little Haiti, but he's in Miami. And that's where I went a couple weeks ago, just me and him in his little pad in Miami. He rented me a kayak, so in the mornings I'd pop up early. And like I said, it's in the Little Haiti part, and there's a river called the Little River.
As
and
I say,
to paddle.
Canals and rivers around.
Well, there's a lock before it goes to the sea. He also took me to Miami Beach. He goes, Mike, you ever wear shorts? Yeah. So, well, let's go swim. This is where I come to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, get centered, you know.
Yeah.
And we're up there, and their beach is much different than the Cali ones. It's
Me and Georgie spent like.
Oh yeah, remember?
One tour. We were in St. Petersburg.
That's right. But this is on the
Gulf
side.
Gulf
this is
side,
Atlantic
still,
side.
Their beaches
really
are
green water, very fine white sand,
soft.
Yeah, and very warm water.
Yeah. On the Gulf side, you got to watch out for those stingrays or whatever they are.
Ooh.
With the barbs on
the
tails.
Yeah, right.
You kind of have
or
to
skates.
Shuffle your feet. You Call can't step. Too. You got to shuffle.
Well, here in the Little River, there's iguanas swimming around.
Really?
Yeah, big old green
no
guys.
No gates? No gators?
No, I didn't see any gators. Saw these birds called muscovies. They're kind of a duck with red growth, like a vulture on their
face. I remember those.
Right, right. And a lot of wild parrot.
Yeah.
Some terrapin, big turtles.
You remember your experience with a gate?
Oh, yeah.
Shell gas station?
Yeah.
I remember the first time you guys, Minutemen, took me to Florida, and we were in southern Florida, and D. Boone kept threatening that he was going to put an out, because there were signs. Remember, we'd go to campsites at night to rest, you know, and there were signs like, don't get out of your car at night, you know, beware, like alligators. And I remember D. like got like dunked some paper bag and pretended like it was an alligator and threw it in the van, and I freaked out, and he was good for that.
Yeah, we
Georgie, too. Georgie had a scare with me and him when we were heading to St. Petersburg in his van one time. And some lady was, like, throwing food. And Georgie was telling her, hey, you think that's, you know, George, good Samaritan, do you think that's, you know, safe? And all of a sudden, psh, you hear the thrash. And, Georgie jumped out of his shoes, man. I was already.
Well, Scotty told me a couple people got attacked by, because mating season and the guy ones get aggressive. And taking out old ladies working in their yards.
Kids have been known to be
taken. A jogger
lady. Oh, I heard about that.
He told me like five people in the last couple months because he lives in Sarasota.
Oh, really?
Part of the year. Yeah.
What a bizarre way to go.
Getting chomped.
Chomped. Because they take you.
Not even really eaten.
No, they take you down.
Right.
And they
drown
your
ass.
You ferment. You rot. Cause you smell. They like the smell. Aged. aged human.
Aged people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were there first. I think we got to make some room for them, not kill them all off.
Just like the stupid shows when animals attack. No, it should be when stupid people go around wild animals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you hear about Bolsa Chica? That earth dam they blew. 104 years. And
no
now
kidding?
There's going to be wetlands. They say 82 species are going to come back.
Finally.
And some more fram, you know, to filter out the runoff.
Yep. Well,
you can't have a total cement world, man.
No way. Well, they're lucky that that hasn't been all destroyed by all those the oil companies for all those 100 years. When you see pictures of Huntington.
What about this BP line in Alaska? They said they had a heads up 4 years ago.
Yeah, and they also already were predicting the $4 gas. And you know what? That changes hourly. Oh, some guy sneezed on a rig out in the Gulf. I think the gas has to go
we
up 5 cents.
It up.
Unbelievable, man.
Remember when we were young? 25 cent?
Yeah. Well, I remember standing in line for gas. I didn't have a car.
Oh, 70s.
But people would pay me to sit in their car overnight. Remember the gas ration?
Right. OPEC.
Yeah.
OPEC.
Ration like 75.
Yeah, OPEX.
I got paid $5 and a six-pack of beer to sit in the guy's van on First Street. Okay, so he went.
Yeah, we were talking about the old jobs, man. Things were econo.
Oh, I know.
In those days. So anyway, I got to see Carlos, and we played this Lowland Festival, and I went down. But before that, I got to play two new lands for me because I've played Holland now for 20 years, right?
Which one, Slovakia?
Slovakia and Hungary.
You never did Hungary, huh?
Never.
Not even with Firehose or Minutemen,
no.
Huh?
No. So I played Budapest in a town called Prieštini.
What do you got left in the Eastern Bloc? Any?
A lot more.
Well, now that it's all divided, but
yeah,
still.
A lot more. And this trip here, though, I'm going to Basque Country.
You've done that before, though.
Victoria Iglesias. In fact, the same festival as Ken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2 years ago when the Cramps played with us. And they were great. And then the other gig is Milano in Italy. And I've played there many times.
You've done Milano.
But first time for these. It's first time for the Stooges in Milano.
Iggy's pretty huge in Europe, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's big here, but I mean, I you know, lots of bands, like they, you know, like Sonics. Look at Sonics. They were like unheard of here, especially on the West Coast. But Europe, I could remember, you know, they'd come here and they'd play American Legion Hall or Anti-Club.
Well, I got to see them when I pracked. Oh, yeah, after the 2 days with Iggy. Just getting the new songs, all 15 of the ones we're going to record in October, which was so great, man. By note, you know, he has me using a pick on a lot of the tunes.
Oh, does he?
Then we flew to Ann Arbor and did 6 days with Scotty and Ronnie. So all four of us.
Yeah.
And, man, I was so nervous. And I have this nightmare where I wake up and this gravestone says, fucked up a Stooges album.
Is it weird? I mean, after all these years of, you know, you're so hands-on, you know what I mean? And it's always like your project. Is it kind of weird working for working for somebody?
Well, we'll get to that next hour because we're at the end of hour one. Wap and Pedro Show, August 27, 2006 editions. Hold tight for hour two. August 27, 2006. It's the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was some Reactionaries with the song called 1979 from 1979. Before that, we had The Plugs. That's something you picked, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Mindless Contentment from their Slash 7-inch.
Courtesy of Georgie's collection.
Yeah, right.
The Georgie collection.
The Georgie collection. Before that, we had Spreckensy Bebop by the Atomic Sherpas, Vince Maroney's band, a guy who played drums in Pair of Pliers and the crew of the Flying Saucer for me. I saw him last night. I did this trippy gig last night in Sierra Madre. Mario from Fatso Jetson has a restaurant called 322 Cafe, and this cat named Chris Murphy, a violinist, had a drummer named Craig and asked me to come in and just jam songs.
So it wasn't that same pad you did before when I went with you with Dose?
That's down the street.
That's like
that's
a bar,
the Buccaneer.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's different.
This is
place.
More of a restaurant.
Huh.
And it was a pants shitter for me, you know, scary gig because, I never even played with these guys. Well, I did record a couple songs for Chris when he came to the studio. And he asked me to do this, but I couldn't shirk. And it was three 40-minute sets, 45-minute sets, and a lot of folks there, and I don't think I looked up once.
You just bended right into it?
I was so stiff, man. So fearful that I held all this stress in, and my knee got all swollen. Yeah, I'm just standing in my neck and
well,
shoulders.
Well, you're going to freeze up like the Tin Man, dude.
Totally.
You're going to have to bring some oil over.
Maybe you'll knock me down big time. Timber. So, anyway, Vince Maroney was there, and he gave me this Atomic Sherpas, this new band. Maybe not a new band, but a band he's in, and I guess that's something live they did. And we started off the second hour with something you picked from Black Betty called Ram Jam.
Ram Jam.
Some 70s.
70s.
70s rock. Yeah,
that
right.
was a jam.
That was a jam.
That's a fucking jam.
Getting back to the Reactionaries. That Team Post gig was the first one. Do you remember how we got the gig? We went to that the first time the Clash played here, and they were handing out flyers in the parking lot.
Right, I remember.
We couldn't believe there was a Pedro, a punk gig was going to happen in Pedro, and they couldn't believe there was a punk band from Pedro, so they just asked us to open.
I remember Georgie was all jazzed like the day or two after I saw him after you guys hooked up with the flag, and he goes, "We're playing." I go, "Like a real gig?" "Yeah, a real gig, like a... you know, no one's backyard, you know." And
no kegger.
Because at the team, and I swear, I didn't believe him. I don't think the guys in my neighborhood actually believed it until we walked up to the door, you know. Because, like I said, man, it was Long Beach Arena or there. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, it was like the transition.
So. What did you think of the Reactionaries when you saw them?
Reactionaries?
I mean, basically, it's the Minutemen with Martin Tamberovich.
Right.
But much different music.
Oh, way different.
We hadn't really gotten to the wire pop group influence yet.
I could say that I was there the first time you guys all played together, just the three of you, as the Reactionaries. So it was like almost like baby steps. You know what I mean? Just watching the transition. Like I said, you guys like jammed a little reggae riff. And,
right.
And
but what about that gig? I mean, that's our first time me and D. Boone ever really wrote songs. I wrote most of them, and they were terrible.
Well, and as usual, you look nervous as hell. I do remember that. I remember somebody commenting like, "What's wrong with Watt?" Or
there was a Lawns gig where I actually passed out.
Well, yeah, but
broke
my
head stuck.
Yeah, but I think a few people passed out from the heat in that place, man. And that place was hot. It was hot inside there.
Sweaty pit. Schwitz.
It was cool. But
anyway, the Reactionaries, what was your take on
it? My take on the Reactionaries was like, these guys have the fucking cojones to get up there and do it. You know what I mean? I mean, I was just, it was almost like, yeah, like somebody we know is actually playing like live music in front of a crowd of people that they don't know. You know what I mean? Something new.
There actually wasn't a lot of Pedro guys at that gig.
No. I think the guys who walked in with me were the only ones. Me, like Tyrann, and, you know.
A lot of people came from Hollywood and the other towns.
That's what we tripped on, was the people, the Hollywood people, the L.A. people that came down.
Well, Randy was really, from the Alley Cats, was really good about flyers.
Yeah,
he would always be out with the flyers. And same with the flag guys.
Yeah, flag guys were always there.
Keith was a singer then.
That's right. That's right.
And I think it was the Descendants' first gig, and Billy was like 15.
Yeah.
He broke his shoulder. He was in some kind of
smelled like fish. Yeah. Remember Billy used to smell like fish?
Because Frank, too. Frank had the boots on.
Because he worked on the charter boats out of King Harbor. Oh, yeah. Man. Billy, right. I think, still smells like fish.
That was trippy about Hollywood people. They thought just because we were South Bay that we had a lot to do with Hermosa Beach and Redondo Beach. We had nothing to do with them.
Nothing.
They didn't know. And L.A. people, we're Southern California, so balkanized, people don't know the other towns.
No, they don't. They don't.
I remember most dudes, remember I spray painted Pedro on my base?
Yeah.
And dudes thought my name was Pedro.
Pedro.
But, like, they only knew the town by this name on the freeway.
Exactly.
So no one even been here.
Well, you got to have, no one drives through this town.
Well,
so
the freeway ends
here. All roads end in Pedro. But, yeah, they had no clue. They thought, for all they knew, it was going to be a bunch of longshoremen or a bunch of fishermen, you know what I mean? With, you know, playing Croatian folk songs. Who knew? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So, you didn't find a Hey Taxi single, did you?
No, I didn't.
All right. So what happens is the reactionaries, D. Boone kind of broke up the band, no more. In fact, there was one of those Long Beach gigs, Todd Apperson. We had two guitarists. Remember that guy?
I went to that gig, Todd Apperson.
That's the one where I passed out.
And that's when the Orange County punks were spitting, and Mario got mad. A friend of ours, Mario, got so mad because he had no concept of the spitting thing. As soon as he saw him spitting at D. Boone, he, like, clotheslined the guy and said, "Don't spit on my friend," you know. It was like, you know, he just figured the guy didn't like D. personally, spit on him.
Yeah. So D. Boone kind of broke up the band. And Georgie Goes joins a Hollywood band called Hey Taxi.
Yeah, and you know, I still...
How did he join them?
I, you know what?
Was
this
it ad
or I
the
don't
recycler
know.
Or something?
I think it was an ad, and then it was word of mouth. I think somebody said, like, told him, and then he answered the ad. I think he'd already seen the ad, and then somebody else told him, because he
Georgie
went to
Georgie was dead. He wanted to play.
Georgie really...
He got the music bug, so...
He really got into it.
He went and searched another band, and D. Boone said to me, "Wait, man, we'll make another band." But
yeah.
We'll let this die down.
Yeah.
And so we go and
the
start
frenzy
the Minuteman.
Die.
Yeah. We start the Minuteman with a welder named Frank Tonchi.
I had breakfast with Frank yesterday at the diner.
Does he go out with Georgie's sister?
Not anymore.
Oh,
no
more?
No.
He did for a while.
Strictly longshoreman, but he doesn't work, he says.
Oh.
Owns property.
But he was a welder in them days.
Welder
and
in them
more
days.
Importantly, he lived in a little house in his sister's backyard, so he had a place to prac. That was me and D. Boone's big problem with drummers.
Was that the...
16th Street.
16th, yeah.
Like between Pacific and Grand.
Because he grew up by Crestwood, didn't he, somewhere in that area? Didn't he grow up
is
your old
right?
hood? His ma, I think, out by up by Park
well,
Western area.
His sister was living there, and he was in the backyard. So
that was always key.
That was
find
cute.
Somebody with
a
shed
or a pad.
A room.
And he does. We do two gigs with him. One was at the Vanguard Art Gallery, and the other one was at Harbor College.
I saw that
Harbor College was the one where Greg asked us to be SSTO02.
Right.
But Tonchi freaks out at the gig, thinks punk is totally insane,
I remember.
And runs, leaves his drums. We
I
never
remember.
Saw him for years. Till I was in Fire Hose, I didn't see him again.
I remember that night clearly.
He told me that was a big mistake. He said, "I should never quit you." Because he was from a band called the Polish Eagle, Flying Eagle. He was a polka band drummer.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. I
think D. Boone met him at Harbor College or something. It was D. Boone's connect.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So he splits. And here Greg asks us to make a record. So at the same time, Georgie's band, Hey Taxi, is falling apart. So we asked Georgie to come back. And he learns all the Minuteman songs in like 2 weeks or something.
I remember.
And we do Paranoid Time in that summer.
Yep, I remember. I remember because Were you guys still practicing at the shed at the time, or you guys had
your
own place?
We go back to the shed.
You went back to the shed, because I remember...
Because we were in Tachi's, and Tachi's out.
Couldn't come in.
Right. And then from the shed...
And we couldn't go in the shed either.
Yeah, from the shed, though, we go... We fall in with the Black Flag guy, so we prac at the dentist's office in Old Torrance.
Right, Old Torrance, Cabrillo. Until the Gestapo Brigade.
That's right. Then we go to Long Beach and share a pad with Secret Hate and Outer Circle.
And that's where all this stuff got ripped off.
Yeah, the first
remember
time.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
First
then,
time.
Yeah.
Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
Off
right.
Santa Fe. I remember dropped Georgie off there one time.
Not too far from that Suburban Lawns pad.
Right. Just
more industrial area.
Yeah.
Their pad is actually by that West Coast Chopper. That's where that rehearsed.
Well, you know what Suburban Lawns Studios was? The Carpenters.
Practice pad.
Carpenters. Right. Richard and...
Right. It was like just south of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Magnolia,
just south of Anaheim, next to a gas station, Shell gas station.
Right, And now if you go a little more west, that's West Coast Chopper.
Right.
Before the
Freeway.
Long Beach
dude,
Freeway.
Engines. Yeah. But you know what? The Suburban Lawns Studios is still there. But
it's like
five pads.
Yeah.
It turned it into like five pads.
Well, they did the same thing to the teen post on Mesa.
Yeah,
it's
three
like
pads.
Three
or four pads now.
They put it in walls and...
Unbelievable.
Tiny pads.
Unbelievable. God.
But anyway, so we get Georgie back in. So you actually saw a Tonchi Minuteman.
I saw
Tonchi. You saw a second gig. You saw the
Harbor College.
Seahawks Center above the bookstore.
Yeah, because I went with Walter Moffitt.
Okay, so what's your
Joe
impressions
Boone.
Of that gig compared with Reactionaries?
Lame. As far as the music-wise? Oh, I didn't like it. Mainly for the fact that I think I remember everybody going, it sounds like they're all playing a different song. You know what I mean? And I'm sure it was, of course, Tonchi was scared to death. And it was Harbor College, too.
Tonchi didn't know punk at all. Like I said,
no.
He came from a polka band.
Yeah, he was like a fish out of water. But I do remember, like, you're playing with a pick.
Yeah.
You're playing with a pick. And I can remember, like people going, like, what's he playing? And then I thought they meant like what kind of bass you're playing. I go, I don't know. They go, no, what kind of picks he got? They're like people critiquing it. You're like music students, you know what I mean? It's like garage.
I think the plugs played and the gears
the
and
plugs,
Red Cross.
The gears Red Cross and not the Alley Cats. I don't think the
No.
Brainiacs? Nothing.
Brainiacs, man.
Was it Brainiacs?
Remember them? They were great.
Brainiacs at Suburban Lawns.
Remember the bass players and guitar players would switch off.
Yeah, and they were big guys.
Yeah.
Big dudes. I remember Suburban Lawns Studios.
They were friends of theirs. That's right.
Yeah.
They were friends of the Lawns.
They started playing one night, and the Orange County punk yells out, ZZ Top! And the guy flipped them off, and the spitting was on, man. It was, God.
So then Georgie joins us.
Georgie comes
and
back.
And what's the first gig... Was it the backyard? I think it was Saccharine Trust's first gig.
Saccharine Trust.
Remember Wilmington? We played that. I had Jack as a guest last month, and we were talking about this gig. It was in a backyard. Maybe it was Lena's house, who was the bass player for Peer Group.
I don't think I was there. I didn't think I was there for Saccharine's first gig.
I think that's the first gig
really?
With the Georgie as Minuteman.
Oh, with Georgie back is in the Minutemen?
Yeah.
Or Georgie
back.
Did
he actually make the record before we do a gig with Georgie?
I do remember that.
Okay, we do the Tonchi gigs, and then we don't do any more gigs. We get Georgie back, we make the record, and then we start doing gigs. And the first paid gig is in October or September at the Starwood.
That was the first paid gig?
Yeah. So
really?
We did like 35 gigs without getting paid. Remember Capone's?
Oh, Capone's.
Capone's is the only gig I ever played on L. And I didn't play, and that was not playing any songs.
There were
just D. Boone and Georgie would start playing, and I just skipped the strings with them. And when they stopped, I stopped. And I thought the sound was like toothpaste coming out of the speakers. It was like, I never played on L, man. It was too heavy. I didn't really know we had a gig that night. Remember, there was some gigs. Capone's was that.
It was a corner.
Three B's, Blue Viking. It had different names.
Yeah, it was the Blue Viking, and
the
then
three B's. It was like 23rd and Pacific.
Yeah, and it was like it was weird because the door faced the corner.
Yeah,
and it was.
You played on the deck.
Yeah, typical Pedro Siemens dive bar, you know, and dudes just went. Because they heard live music, they had no clue who it was. And, you know, I mean, they're Pedro guys, but they don't even know you guys. You know what I mean?
No. Right. We got these kids to play called Osiers. And I remember it was right maybe a couple weeks before or a week before the Starwood gig. And these kids are spitting on. That's why in that DVD, you kind of go, where's your band? Because that's if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's like, what the hell is this guy? But I see his face. It's the singer.
Oh,
Osiers.
You saw him in the crowd?
It's like, man, we just got your gig. Why are you spitting on us? But the spitting thing wasn't really meanness. It was just you're part of the deal.
It was the deal. It was a copy of what they England. Heard and saw in England, basically. Pistols, Clash, you know, just a copy. Just jumping on the bandwagon, man. Following the truck, you know.
Here, share my fluid.
Yeah. Well, like Georgie says,
so
on
now
the,
you see. So, what's the first gig you see with Georgie? With
the first gig I see with Georgie the Minimum was actually a house party for New York Joe. Do you remember New York Joe?
Yeah.
Remember you guys played his party like in the afternoon. That's the first time I think I saw Georgie.
I'm telling
the
you,
Minimum.
First paid gig is Starwood, so we did lots of parties.
We did lots of
and
house
then opened
parties.
In for Flag for free, like Stardust Ballroom and.
I didn't go to Stardust. That's when the riot,
but
right?
There was gigs where, yeah.
I went to Starwood.
There was no monies. We just got to play in front of a lot of hardcore kids.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And even the Starwood, the first paid gig, that's opening for Flag. So a lot of our gigs.
Yeah, I didn't go to that one. I remember because there was a riot on that one. That was a right, was a big one. I remember the newspapers made
Aces
a big deal.
Hall, Ukrainian Hall, Polish Hall was a big one.
Vex was a big one. I remember George
Palladium with the Ramones was a big one.
Whoa, that was insane. That was insane.
Didn't like Flag.
Flag, Minutemen, and Ramones.
Right.
And it was insane, man.
Yeah. So the first one you see is New York Joe.
New York Joe's
and
Pat.
Now what? Now what's your take on that compared to the Harbor College Minutemen gig? More together?
Oh yeah, way more together.
Because of
you
Georgie,
guys,
huh?
You guys.
Was
really?
It because Georgie instead of Tachi, and also me and D. Boone had been playing Minutemen a little bit.
And you guys
longer.
Played constantly. I can remember going to your pad on when you lived on 21st and Gaffey.
Yeah.
You were always playing. You always had the bass in your hand. D. Boone, same thing. Yeah. When I rode my bike over to his pad, I could hear him playing through his little amp before I got to the door.
Yeah.
And Georgie, same way.
So we were tighter
you
in
guys
those
were
couple
tight.
Months.
You guys were got tight really fast because I can remember people who like saw you. Like reactionaries.
Did you go to the recording? I know Martin was there and Gregory.
No. Which recording?
The Paranoid Time.
No, I didn't go to Paranoid
We mixed
time.
It and recorded it one time, night.
Did you really? Where at
Media Art
at
in
Media
Hermosa
Art?
Beach. Yeah. Remember Martin conked.
Did he?
Yeah, he conked passed out. Because he was supposed to sing Joe McCarthy with us. It's so funny. When you listen to the recording, you can hear us. Because Gregory never even heard the song, and he's all barrage. So I'm telling him what to do. I said, I'm going to point at you, and you're going to just start saying Joe McCarthy. The guy never even heard the song.
Yeah, and of course, he doesn't want to do anything anybody tells him. You know what I mean? Of course, Gregory.
Joe McCarthy.
I'm surprised he didn't take writing credits.
Yeah. And then I remember D. Boone wrote them songs with him, and that was Kindled Imagination.
Kindled Imagination.
Right, Paper Towels. He wrote the songs on Paper Towels and then wrote a song about that. So,
but no, you guys.
So with George Hurley, the Minutemen changed big time.
Big time. It was such a step up. Like I said, it wasn't as much for me as other people like Mark Turan or like Fabian Mayorga. When they didn't see you like 6 months, they'd go, wow. You know what I mean? Like. It blew their minds because you guys not only, I mean, mastered your instruments a whole lot better than, you know, crawling. You guys, you know, were tight from the very beginning, really tight. And like I said, I think that came from when you guys weren't together, you guys were always playing. I can remember Georgie coming home from his job in Long Beach to the machine shop and going straight to the shed, you know?
Right.
Straight
and
to
we
the
did
shed.
Have the time with even though that wasn't that tight, Reactionaries. At least we played together.
But you were.
Well, we didn't play with Tonchi at all.
Really?
New.
Really?
Well, we did some pracs, but he came from such a different universe.
Yeah.
So it would have taken time. And I think that time is we already put in with Georgie with Reactionaries. So when it came time for Minutemen, we had already played with
you
him
guys
and
had
knew
a,
him.
You guys had a good work ethic already going, the three of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know that carried on when you guys started touring, even the little tours, Phoenix and all that?
Yeah, SF.
You know, SF, Phoenix, Sacto, just those weekenders, you know, where I'd go, you know, hey, where are you guys going? Oh, we're going here. Could I go? Yeah. You got any beer money? Yeah. You know, those weekends, you know.
We would never stay in San Francisco. We'd always drive back.
Home. Come home.
And it was never our vehicle. At first, it was always borrowing the flag van.
A borrowed van or...
Sometimes the sack.
Didn't
I remember the sack van, the roof would cave in and we'd all have to stand up at one time and poke it back out.
Oh,
remember one
man.
Time Georgie sat up in it. He set his drums up and was jamming on the I-5.
Some of those vans, I can't believe how we would
total
go to prayers, Phoenix and Tucson. Like, God.
That one flag van was so bad with the rusted
the
motor
red one?
Nuts. No, the white one.
The white one?
Old Econoline where the motors sat right next to
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
And the motor mounts were rusted, so the thing would be coming through the fiberglass cowl. It was three on a tree, and a trash truck had backed into it. So the door didn't close all the way, and all the dash gauges were broke. So the driver guy'd have to wear sunglasses and big old scarves because this big gale force wind would be blowing on you like a champ,
oh,
man. You didn't have to worry about... falling asleep at the wheel in that one.
I do remember going to Phoenix with Minutemen in before the White Dodge, that's for sure. I don't know what I can't even remember what we were in, but I do remember.
Loner, probably.
Yeah,
Loner.
But I do remember D and you going, damn, I hope we make enough money for gas home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that.
Did you ride with us? I remember us and Sack borrowed the second flag van for a Bay Area thing. And the catalytic converter clogged. Were you with us on that one?
Yeah.
And Georgie gets the screwdriver out and starts hammering holes. I remember Dukowski getting all pissed. There was one little van in the back, and everybody had their mouth on it because the windows didn't roll down. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. The alternator was sitting on a block of wood.
I remember
we were almost dying. Well, first, Georgie has the brilliant idea to wrap the catalytic converter with aluminum foil.
MacGyver.
That's enough to catch his fire. We had this huge fire under the boat. Oh, my God.
Well,
needless
to say, Georgie still works like that sometimes. Sorry, Georgie.
He thinks pretty good, but that was in some...
That was...
But it was
desperate times.
To open up those vents because we would have died.
Dude, I remember I tried to sleep in there, but just between the stench of us all and, like... Old sandwiches.
I'll tell you a brilliant idea that me and D. Boone had was, remember Nip Drivers?
Yeah.
And the guitar player, Kurt. I'll give you guys a ride up to San Francisco in the back
I remember.
Of the truck, and we got all sunstroke.
You and Dirk.
And Dirk.
You and Dirk Vandenberg.
Purple ass legs. Oh, I vomited, and then the way back was totally freezing. I had to huddle up on D. Boone.
I remember that when you guys got back, that's what everybody said. They go by Watt's house. He's all red, sunburned.
Yeah, purple.
Like...
You're never riding the back. I think it's illegal now, but
and you,
riding
remember,
a truck for 8 hours.
I remember you guys thinking your take on that was it's overcast. There's no sun.
Yeah.
You know, like
we were blazed.
We won't get
burned.
Remember,
it was with the Big Boys and the Dicks.
Really? Oh, that was
on Broadway above the Mabuhay.
Above the Mabuhay?
Yeah, that's where all the gigs were in those days in SF.
Well, I remember
either the Stone, Mabuhay, or on Broadway. Right upstairs.
I went with you guys at the Minutemen to the Stone, and then.
Yeah, we did Public Image
Stone
with the
Stone. Mabuhay.
No, it was
the
Stone.
Oh, you did.
I remember because.
No, but.
It was the second song, all right? The Minutemen have these really little songs, and I look over and Johnny Rotten's pointing at his watch.
That's in Sacto?
No, Stone
no,
in
no,
San Francisco, across the street from Mabuhay. But we did play with them in Sacramento.
Exactly, that's the...
And then we raced over to San Francisco and played a gig at the Mabuhay.
Yeah, and that's the last time you ever took Gregory.
That's right.
On tour.
That's right.
Oh, God.
We used to get Joe Boone, D. Boone's little brother, was in the Air Force in Sunnyvale. And we'd go and get him and drop him off.
Yeah. But yeah, we went to Sacramento.
The big difference, you're saying, between Reactionaries... Tonchi Minuteman.
Oh, yeah. Minuteman. Even if you listen to Reactionary stuff and you listen to, like, Paranoid Time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or What Makes a Man, any of the early stuff, you know what I mean? You can totally hear, like, just the change. Like I said, you know, it wasn't like you sat at home, like, at 11 and 12 watt and were perfecting the bass, you know? You know? So, no, that's why.
Well, the big difference with Reactionaries. And Minuteman was the influences. There was a record store in Long Beach called Zeta London's, right? We get these 7-inchers, not know anything about
which
the band.
A lot of these Georgie's things still have the tags on
right? And we would get them because of the cover. I mean, we never heard of these bands.
Never heard of them.
And we'd play them at the 17th Street House.
Right.
Remember?
I remember that's the first time
out of them.
I heard Perry Ubu the first time.
Right.
We I remember George goes, he liked it first because it was a cool name, Perry Ubu. We heard of Perry Ubu or Throbbing Gristle. Because, like, you know, we're all taking hallucinogenics, man. You got to get this single. Throbbing Gristle, it's made for this, you know what I mean? Just, it screams at
but
you.
A lot of that stuff had influence, especially Wire.
Oh, yeah.
Group.
Wire.
Big influence. Yep. And so the Minutemen were the reactionaries, I think, the only... was more seeing those Hollywood bands.
Right.
The live thing.
And you
the
could
germs
see,
and the plugs.
And in those days, like Hong Kong Cafe,
yeah.
Madame Wong's, you could see how all the bands influenced each other.
Yeah.
I mean, from even from like X and
Mass, Club
and you know, the Kidman Brothers, you know, even though they were like totally, sounded totally different from everybody, there was always a band's influence because it was so new.
Yeah,
and there were so many bands.
Right, and those actually were the only punk bands we could see. These England ones, we never got to see.
You had no clue who these people were.
They were just sounds on records. But the records were $2, so you weren't spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
And a lot of them turned out
$2
to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing who they were at all, picking them by the name or the cover.
And see, that's what was so great about it was because my older brothers, you know, listening to like The Who, The Kinks, The Rolling Stones, you know, all those type of British, what they call the invasion bands.
Yeah.
You saw those guys. They played stadiums. They played the arenas. These guys, they had Cockney accents. You couldn't understand what... You didn't even know they were speaking English, singing English, you know?
Yeah, and they hardly played... I think the only... The Minutemen only played with one England band. It was at Perkins Palace, and they were called Sex Gang Children. It was with Butthole Surfers. You remember that, where Gibby had all the paper cockroaches?
Yeah, yeah.
They were little Xeroxes of cockroaches.
That's the first time I saw the Buttholes.
Yeah.
That's the very first time I saw the Buttholes.
Well, we actually
surfers.
Played with them at the Grandia Room with the big boys.
I didn't see
you
it, though.
You that one?
Didn't see it. Didn't
a
see it.
Party after that on Melrose. That's before Melrose was Melrose.
Right.
It was just
when it was still
kind of working
when it was still, still working class.
Right.
When you could still buy clothes
now,
cheap.
Now Grandia Room is called Martini Lounge. It's a wave part. It's like, well, it's been that way for years. So you picked a record here?
Yes, I did.
And
speaking of English bands, Wire.
Okay, here we go. What from Pedro Show.
No blind spots in the leopard's eyes. Can only help to jeopardize the lives of lambs to shepherd cry. Worker, a slap upside my mind, a roof falls, another
That's the Minuteman with the song called Futurism Restated. Though Richard wanted to play Case Closed, but Minutemen always put the label information only on one side. And there's some excellent Raymond Pettibone art on the side that he wanted.
That I modeled
for. He had
to
avert his eyes.
I modeled for it. It says, we need the money.
And you know where the spindle goes. A little spindle.
Spridle.
A little spridle, the spindle. That's funny. That's from the Beanspill EP. Beanspill.
Spill the beans.
Spill the beans that make us sing. Before that, we had Screamin' Jay Hawkins as a Psychiatrist.
Strange title.
Yeah, it's from a band called Green Machine. I guess it was a Portuguese band because I got the CD while on stage with the Stooges. And when Iggy brings up the kids for a real cool time and no fun, this guy handed me a CD. So I put it in my belt behind my back and I brought it back to Pedro. And so there's Green Machine.
Did he get pelted by security after that? Pummeled.
Some beat down.
Got a beat down, slapped down.
He was in Coimbra, in the north part of Portugal, a couple weeks ago.
Are those festivals pretty lax? I mean, as far as like...
Sometimes security is horrible. In Napoli, it was black shirt, fascisti. Yeah, and Iggy. I remember Iggy grabbing a kid and hugging him. Like, you're going to have to beat me if you're going to beat him.
He was like right up against stage or what?
And these guys were on him.
Oh, they...
Total fascist guys, and like Iggy's hugging him to protect him. Like, you're going to have to beat me if you're going to beat him anymore.
Like out there, like, a lot of those type places, they're not, like, college kids. They're, like, security force, security
for jock. Hire. You know, like, over here,
well,
security
then
cowboy.
It's the same thing, like, over here. Like, I didn't make the first
screen.
Sometimes
out of hand.
Yeah, right. You know.
And they're bragging and getting all cowboy jonesed up before the gig, how they're going to
like
kick
the old,
ass.
Like the old Star Wars gig where they'd high-five each other.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Bunch of cocks.
Yeah, well. You know where they are now.
Yeah, they're painting their fingernails.
Yeah, one of them was humping my pipes for me on a job the other day.
Oh.
Apprentice.
Yeah. And we started off the second hour with the Outdoor Minor, the 45 single version from Wire.
Wire,
that
big
has a piano solo. The album one doesn't have the piano solo, so special. White vinyl, too. Remember singles that have colored vinyl?
Colored vinyl. I've got the Costello, Funny Valentine, from the second. That was the first time he played, right, in America.
No, I saw him at the Whiskey in 77.
Well, that's when he came back. He played La Mitrina, and they cut it in half. They had a big curtain. Did you go to the La Mitrina show?
I would see arena gigs where they used curtains.
Curtain.
I saw Mahavishnu Orchestra that way, where they curtained
really?
Off half of it.
I saw Mahavishnu Orchestra at Santa Monica Civic.
Yeah, I saw him at the arena.
Really?
It was pretty good.
It was intense watching them.
I know Nels Klein.
Yeah, especially because I didn't know I didn't know about them, you know what I mean? I had no clue who they were when I went to see them, so it was just a mind blow for me. It was like...
Yeah, it was like intense. I didn't know what fusion was. I remember Georgie later got that Billy Cobham record, Spectrum.
Spectrum, yeah.
Right.
And, oh, yeah. Fusion? We thought that had something to do with nuclear physicists, you know? Fusion.
But then I remember getting kind of big. Jeff Beck had the Blow by Blow
by
and
blow.
Wired.
And
remember Rudy Vitarovich?
Rudy Vitarovich.
Right? They did Freeway Jam at his wake.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have him do...
That was weird about Rudy. He was a good guy.
Yes, he was.
He was killed on a motorbike racing with Mario. I think there by Averill on Weymouth.
Yeah, Averill Park. He motorcycle was a little too big for him, and he just bought it, and he drifted. But, yeah, that was pretty sad, you know, to have your friend go like that, you know. He's a good guy.
I think we spoke moto with him right before.
Yeah. George used to go skiing with him
man.
A lot, you know? Like, it was kind of odd when people died and they played music at their funerals, which, thank God, I will not have. But when I do go out and you are down at Tommy's Yacht Club or Harold's or Spot drinking.
Harold's is closed.
Drinking a beer, but they're going to reopen, I heard.
Oh.
I want you to play We Like the Cars That Go Boom.
Bunny?
By Bunny. Deirdrum Bunny.
Deirdrum Bunny.
We like
I
want to
be
boom.
Buried at sea so everybody gets a boat ride.
How about Harbor, how about Harbor Lake? Cool Harbor Lake or what?
No. Off Cabrillo. All so right, I wash up on the shore and everyone has to breathe
I'll
me.
I'll take you down the fucking lane. Lane Victory. Just flip you off the Lane Victory. Let rigor mortis sit in and just kind of tilt you over.
So, getting back to Minuteman and doing the gigs. You went on tours with us.
Yeah, but only West Coast. Cause,
no, didn't you end up doing the REM?
REM, but that's the first time I ever went back east. That's the first time I ever went east.
And that
Texas.
Ends up our last tour.
Last tour. That was a mind blow because I remember the tour before that.
No,
co-conspirators.
Co-conspirators. With the brother A. West.
I asked you if I can go, and you go, no, no room. You said, we had no room, Rich.
Yeah.
I go, well, shit, what? I want to see America. You know what I mean? I want to go east to Texas.
The one before that was Mersh Alive. Dirk went with us.
Dirk went with you because you did Northern. You did Montana, Wyoming. And I remember, because that's when I got the idea, like, okay, Dirk's gone. Maybe he'll take me sometime. And then the next one I asked you, but you already had it all set, ready to go. And you go, I guarantee you the next one we go on. And you didn't even know it was going to be REM.
No, we didn't know who REM was.
Well, Georgie.
I remember we had to get a record.
I knew because somebody had the single on a cassette of Radio Free Europe. And the MTV had just come out. And Georgie had cable. Georgie's the only person I knew had cable. And I'll never forget, when you came home, you called me and said, are you ready? You ready to go? We're taking you. I was like, oh, pumped. I was like, jazz. I called my boss. Can I take vacation? And, you know, 2 weeks extra. And I was sitting at Georgie's pad on Bonita Street. This is way before I even lived with him there. And MTV was on. And like I said, and you'd go from, like, Pat Benatar to, like, you know, some obscure Swedish band. You know, like, it was just real. The format was just really bizarre. You know what I mean? All it was who could afford to make a video. It wasn't like format like
genres. We ended up making
genres.
One for $440.
Oh, yeah. A great one. A great one. But I remember they came on MTV, and Georgie was cooking, as usual, in the kitchen, you know, sausages or whatever his forte was. And I go, George, look, these are the guys you're going on tour with. And he comes running in the living room, and he's like, what? He looks on the TV, goes, his eyes is like lit up. He goes, they're on TV? These guys, like, got a video? He thought that was, like, out of this world. Like, how big are these guys? Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, by that standard.
We didn't know who they were either. I remember me and D. Boone.
You guys had no clue.
And it sounded like folk music with kind of a disco drum under it.
it was way different.
And they turned out to be really nice guys.
Way different.
I remember the first gig got canceled because of a hurricane in Tallahassee.
Remember you told me to drive. You had driven a lot.
Yeah.
We picked you up in Houston.
Yeah.
We picked you up in Houston. No. Did we pick you up in Houston?
No, I drove out.
Or did you drove? No, me, George, and Dee drove.
That's
picked
right.
Picked you up in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Picked you up in Dallas.
Because I couldn't get off.
Right.
I had to work. And so I met you guys in Dallas and drove from there. And then in Florida, I asked you to drive.
No, actually before Florida, because when we were like in Louisiana, we were listening to the radio. And the 10 was going to be closing Gulfport. And like I said, I had never been anywhere like that before. But I remember you telling me.
Mississippi.
That's cool. I remember when you get to the section where they close it in Gulfport, go north on this interstate. And then
we dodged it.
We dodged it because it angled northeast across the Panhandle.
That's right. I remember. It was
across
right
Georgia
there.
And off to the Atlantic.
I gave you the wheel.
Yeah. And it was a
mind
blow.
And then we came into Tallahassee and the trees were all on
trees
top of stuff.
On top of stuff.
Well, the National Guard was out.
Even before that, driving through Georgia right before we got
into
there.
Into the Panhandle.
I never believed that story about sheet metal roofs, like wrapping around poles. And I mean, it was like Mayberry towns, and I'm thinking, and it was weird because I had been to Hawaii before, and that's what the air was like. It wasn't humid. It was like trade winds. That tripped me out, too, because I was expecting this humid south. You know what I mean? But it wasn't. It was just like Hawaii weather. You know what I mean? Like warm trade winds.
But I think so that gig's cut, and I think the first gig with him was Tampa.
Jacksonville.
Oh, that's right.
College.
And then St. Petersburg or Tampa.
No. Jacksonville, Miami, at the hotel. Remember, we freaked out on that because it was like a convention center, and we were in like a locker room, and Mike Stipe came walking down the hall, and like I said, I knew who they were, you know what I mean? And you guys, they could have tripped over, you know, and you would have known. And I can remember Mike Stipe walking down the hall, and I mean, this is all new to me, man. I'm like, do I say hi to this guy? What do I do? And he, like, was really meek and timid. He goes, in that southern drawl he had. He really had it bad then. I mean, he goes, excuse me, do y'all work for the Minutemen? And I go, yeah, I do. And he goes, do you think I can meet him? And I just remember inside cracking up thinking, do you think you can meet him? You invited him on your tour. Like,
you know what? Me and D. Boone actually remembered meeting him.
You told me later, yeah.
When he came through in 84 and played Atlanta,
yeah,
this long-haired guy came up to us and...
was it 688, that's it, 688.
Yeah, and he comes up and does an interview with us for a fanzine. It turned out to be the singer,
and they were
Mike Stipe.
Him and Buck were big fans. Big fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Huge
fans. We found
fans.
Out that all of them were really into music. Pete Buck had a huge record collection.
Yeah, well,
when
we stayed at his pad, we had, you were a vegetarian, unfortunately, but we had some of the best ribs.
Boone asked me to do Southern that. Southern ribs. Just ate broccoli that whole tour. Man, it was great.
Yeah, those are legendary stories, Watt, about Denny's in Fort Myers, Florida, and there was some duct tape involved.
I also had the green army clothes
on. Fidel Castro,
yeah,
total full arm Fidel Castro.
So with the
look.
Broccoli, I had the green was big time. I hate. So
I
much
wish we
broccoli.
Would have had a camera for that one because being in Southern Florida and you looking like Fidel, you even had the cap. You even had the green cap, you know, like Che.
D. Boone went with me to Union Wear Surplus and got all that stuff. And that was a funny.
Yeah.
Funny thing. What was his outfit?
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen. He had a cut-off flannel. And he had his green army shorts, but he used to cut them. He used to make
that. Yeah.
See, D. Boone was like 25 years ahead of his time, because now that's
the
style. Yeah, that's the style now. But D was sporting that in 78, man. The big boy pants, size 50s.
I think they were... For soldiers to wear over their uniforms for chemical warfare.
Because they're really loose, I remember. They weren't, like, fitted. They were loose and drawstring.
No pockets.
He used a jacket for that to hide sandwiches. Do you remember
the public image gate?
Yeah. Well, that
chowed on.
Yeah, we chowed Johnny Rotten's lunch.
He found the catering room.
Yeah.
Didn't know and chowed all the...
That was all new to us, too. A catering room, we had no clue. And the pill show, so somebody creaked open the door, and they saw, like, a deli platter with cold cuts and cheese and some, you know, a loaf of bread. Yeah, I mean, it was just something like you bought at Vons or something. You know, it wasn't fancy catered or nothing.
No.
But, you know, one guy went in, made a sandwich. You know, we figured, well, that guy's eating. Who's he? He's not Johnny Lydon, so I guess it's
and
okay.
Then, Boone had one in each hand, I remember, and the dude saw him.
Not only did he have one in each hand, he had four in each pocket and the jacket.
And the dude got all pissed, chased us out. We had a gig in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think we're really, yeah, that was Mabuhay with Slovenly.
Yeah.
Slovenly. Watson and Holtz.
Anderson.
Yeah, but what was funny about that, because that is a legendary story about eating Johnny Rotten's lunch, as if he was going to fucking chow it, was... The guy really freaked. I mean, he freaked anyways, but when he really freaked, because there was a stray dog that wanted it, and D was feeding the dog bologna, and the guy kicked the door right off the hinge, and he screamed, pulled his hair. He goes, you ate the pill platter. Kind of shuffled out real quick.
He ate the pill platter.
D was the only one who had the foresight to make sandwiches to go, you know what I mean? Because on the ride home from San Francisco, when we got a flat, remember?
Yeah, and Tracy.
Flat and Tracy.
I remember I had to ride with the meth tow truck guy. You guys stayed at the Arco. And I'm on this crazy-ass ride with this guy rolling through. Oh, my God.
You went to Stockton or something, huh? We thought we were never going to see you again.
It was like hours up.
We thought he slit his throat.
You guys thought there was a ghost.
No, we thought.
It was a black bag.
It was a black. It was a black hefty bag, and the wind, because the wind howls up there, and the wind was catching it, and Stinky took acid and didn't share, so he's going, look, dude, but he had me thinking it too, because I was all lack of sleep, Molta, whatever, and I swear to God, but that's how Greg was. He could make you think.
The tour guide.
Yeah.
The old gods.
He could make you believe what he was saying, if he said it the right way,
Hey, man, we're at the end of the second hour. August 27, 2006, edition of Wapa Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three, Richard Bonney. August 27, 2006. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Both strings, both shelves on gross things. I'm coasting and you can't keep up. Shit, your head is in the floor. Traveled all kinds of places. The song is always the same. Got lonesome fuel for fire. Got 45s to play at night. Got books to spend with every weekend. The story's always the same. Got lonesome fuel for fire. Fuel for fire, a bitter ending. To a sweet, sweet day. Fuel for fire, a sour note inside the orchestra well. Fuel for fire, uncomfortable pauses between famous last words. Fuel for fire, missing persons in a small, small world. Dug beneath the wall of sound, I ended up back where I started. The song is always the same. Got a lonesome fuel for fire, and so my heart is always on the line. I've traveled all kinds of places. The story's always the same. Got lonesome fuel for fire.
I don't know much, but I sure can tell you. Porky soul is gonna fry in hell, and the grease will spit, and the fat will roll like a hamburger. That all your soul is worth, processed beef clippings. Tear the skin right off of me, Yerna. Hang it on now. Ah, intrigue.
What from Pedro Show? That's the Soft Boys with the Askin Tree.
From the George Hurley collection.
Yeah. Brought to you by Richard Bonney. You picked that one. And before that, we had M. Ward with Fuel for Fire. M. Ward's a guy I just got recently turned on to because he asked for me to open up 3 gigs for him at the end of September. That'll be the first 3 gigs with my new trio, Mike Watt and the Missing Men. Raul Morales on drums, Tom Watson on guitar, and playing in San Diego at the San Diego Women's Club, the Fillmore up in San Francisco, and the Henry Fonda Theater up in Hollywood. And later in November and December, we'll be opening up for the Chili Peppers in Europe. In between, I record down with the Stooges. So that's a trip.
Full plate for what?
Yeah. You know, I told you about going up and practicing with those guys in Ann Arbor. Well, Sonic Youth played with Flamin' Lips in Detroit the last night, or one of the last nights I was there, and I went and got to see him, and it was such a pressure reliever for me, man. I drank a bunch of champagne. Got a little silly. Go team was playing.
So you got to wear a mustache next time you go to Detroit, or what?
I have no mustache now. I'm not going to wear one for a while. I see these pictures of me with a mustache, and I feel ridiculous.
You look like Greg Norton's little brother. Or big brother, depending on how you
look
at
it. And Iggy, he says I look younger, so I won't be wearing one for a while. I didn't have one last year. Somebody flowed me a link to a video where we're doing Funhouse, Banyan's doing Funhouse at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and I've got Noah mustache there. So. You were there?
I think so. Didn't I go with you?
Up Banyan? Monterey? Yeah, it was Banyan. Well,
me and you. Me, yeah. You, and Nels drove up.
That's
then,
right.
And then we did the red-eye drive to Lisa's.
That's right. That's right. God, it's hard for me to remember all this sometimes. Anyway, M. Ward.
Well, that's why I'm here, Watt.
Yeah, to help me. We had a band from Providence called Lorna Doom. Now, this is not the Lorna Doom that we all know who played and plays bass for the Germs, but a rap duo from Providence. And they had a song called A Political Song for, and I couldn't read the last word, but they had a picture of me and D. Boone, so that was nice of them. Thank you, Lorna Doom guys. And we started off the third hour with something you picked, Richard, called Uniforms from Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend from the very obscure, not really well-known album of his, All Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes, which I always dug that cover because he's hugging a flying V.
Oh, like Bob Moe used to play.
Yes.
A flying V.
Two Greek.
Well, favorite D. Boone stories.
Oh, yeah, this isn't censored. I could say it. Phoenix, one of my favorites. Phoenix playing with... No, actually, it was your show at an old church, like an old Lutheran church downtown Phoenix.
Yeah, the Victor Brothers put out.
Yeah, and we pulled up, and I'm not sure if you stayed at the pad to talk to the meat puppets or not, but I know Georgie was there, and D, went to Church's Fried Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
We went to a Church's Fried Chicken, and Dee could devour some chicken. Anyways, we ate at this Church's Fried Chicken, and as anybody who ever ate with Dee knows very well, you can set your watch by him as far as letting it go. And it was like 15 minutes to say what? 15, 20 around 20 there?
Minutes.
Yeah, like 20.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, Dee probably destroyed a whole yard bird at Churches, and there's a gas station across the street, and, of course, he's going to play in a little while, so he had to get rid of it. And he went in there, and it was one of those indoor ones, and not like the modern kind like we have today, but, old school with a mechanic and everything. And he's in there, and this group of sorority-looking college girls pull up, park right next to us. Me and George are sitting in the van talking. And two of the girls go to the bathroom, only one bathroom, and they go, and it's locked. And I go, oh, God, Georgie, look. They're waiting for whoever's in that bathroom to come out, and having no idea it's Dee Boone. He's already been in there like 10 minutes, 15. They're right ready to give up. Boom, that door opens up. Oh, God, the look on the faces of those college girls is incredible. And we were just laughing our ass. And Dee just came out with his big old smile, as he always does on his face, like, just another night. Let's go do this, We get to the gig. It was a big room. It was like high ceiling. It was an old church, with these beams. And, a lot of our friends are there. Meat Puppets were there and, people we know. And just as they're ready to go on, like I said, it's an old church. So there's no lighting, gels. It's just house lights and go off, So the place is lit up like a union hall at night. And who do I see, right off the stage right is like those four college girls. And that was even better reaction when they saw who was playing guitar right in front of them. The girl made a disgusting face and whispered something to her friend, and the two just two of them just walked away like, oh god. Yeah, Dee Boone, he was.
So then, speaking of Arizona, that's kind of where the Minutemen ended.
Om Namo Narayani.
And this kid from Ohio comes to my pad after a while, Edward, and we start a band. Firehose, Georgie, and Edward. And what was your first impressions of that? Did you see one of the first gigs?
I actually saw practice.
I think the first gig was June 14th.
At the Battery.
At the Angels Gate.
Angels Gate, but...
In 1986.
I did one thing I never did with Minutemen. I actually went to a practice.
To a prac.
Because I was just so curious. Yeah, I was just so curious to see who this kid was. I'd never met him. I only knew he was living underneath your desk. Georgie, was I living with George? No, I wasn't. I wasn't living with Georgie at the time, but I was hanging out there a lot. And Freddie Apodaca was another good friend of ours who passed away. But Georgie, I asked George, what time do you practice? And you guys were like doing night practices, or at least that time. And it was like 7 o'clock or 6:30, and I drove my Volkswagen up there to the Angels Gate. And I swear, I had no idea where you practice. I just followed the sound, and it was like in that little tunnel. It was weird.
Farley.
I had never been in those things in the nighttime, so I opened the
door. Yeah, the Angels Gate Culture Center is the upper reservation of the old Fort MacArthur, and they turned it over to the city when they closed down the base.
And it's like concrete bunkers, It looks like, they use it for movies, They use it it's still to this day. But
I had to move up to the officer's latrine about a year and a half
after that.
Some war freak turned it into a museum.
Yeah.
From Torrance, some guy.
Do you know this, though? Do you know Madonna made a video there? They've made a lot of videos there. Like a Prayer.
Isla Bonita.
Yep, was filmed at that Battery.
So you follow the sound.
So I follow the sound. I walk in. I remember you had a look on your face like, what the hell are you doing here? You know what I mean? But I think you kind of figured like, okay, well, maybe dropping off some weed to Georgia or something, or hand signals, fucking rope drop. Rope drip. Unit puff or something. So anyway, I just sat there, and I did feel kind of weird, because like I said, I never went to your practices. I mean, come on, you know, like.
Hardly anybody did.
Yeah.
Our practices
were
always a little.
They were intense, too. Yeah. You know, there's, you know, it's pretty, it's no party, you know, it's not like, let's tap the keg. So anyways, I saw, and I didn't get it. I really didn't get it at first. I go, this isn't going to work. I literally said that as I'm driving out of there, like, well, you know, I mean, coming from what you guys were, the Minutemen,
yeah,
you know, and all those years, you know, I mean, those songs were ingrained in my brain, you know what I mean? Like, to see something totally
indeed, boom,
opposite.
Quite a impression maker.
Oh, God, yes.
His guitar, his singing, his dancing.
Yeah, everything about him, man. That REM tour, I can remember Columbia, South Carolina?
You remember the blows we took?
Oh, incredible. But
because it was a lot of frat boys. A
lot of frat boys.
Square
Giants. Michael Stipe fucking giving the riot act in, where were we at? In Virginia.
In Lynchburg.
Blacksburg, I think. No, where was Jerry Falwell from?
Lynchburg.
Oh, it was a Quonset hut.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. And these guys were throwing full beers on you guys. Full on. Like, going to the keg just to refill. And throwing them on you guys. Oh, I wanted to just get a bat.
So before they started, he gave a little sermon.
And he came out, and they were like, all happy. You know, hey, play Radio Free Europe. Which they never played. You know what I mean? People would come just for that song. And they never played it at all. You know, on purpose. Well, anyways, he kind of like told the band, like, hold on, got to say my piece. And he fucking read the riot act, yeah. And he was pointing. He was like singling people out, like, and I was just like, yeah, right on, dude. Sound, it felt like a little shrinkage, you know. But yeah.
D. Boone had a really intense style of guitar, too, man. And singing. Just the whole thing. It was like,
thing.
This is going to, for real, this is going to count.
I think when people saw the three of you, like, get up there, especially that tour, because they didn't come for you. Well,
no.
I take that back, though. There were some of your fans, because I met
not
a
many.
Lot of people. No, there weren't many, but there were some. Yeah, that's true. But there were some. It wasn't like...
But you know what? I still got cats coming up to me saying that was the first time they saw me play.
You know what? It blew me away, because you won so many people over. The show just won them over. Whether they, you know what? Even whether they liked the music or not, just the effort they saw you guys put into it and how tight you guys
for,
were.
For bigger pads, it wasn't that kind of music.
No.
The songs are so short.
It wasn't. But when you see a guy like D. Boone bouncing, not like shuffling, bouncing like airborne, from like a pogo stick. Like he was on a pogo stick, and I'll never forget those caterers in Columbia. It was an entire black family, and they had a catering business, and, you know, they were hired for the night to cater for the crew and the bands. And, you know, D was such a jovial person and so personable that you know, he could strike up a conversation with anybody. And I could remember us talking to those people, you know, because they were busting the tables.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget, one of the little daughters, like a 12, 11 years old, when D was bouncing across that stage, and it was plywood, I remember, and it was like sinking. You could feel the whole, Georgie's drum set
buckling.
Was moving. And I remember her running back to that kitchen and grabbing like the whole family, the grandmother, everybody came to the side of the stage to watch D, and they were, they couldn't believe their eyes. Especially he just eating like 4 filet mignons wrapped in bacon, you know what I mean? God, they could not believe.
So it was intense on Edward.
Very intense.
To fill.
Yeah, well, like
but
I said.
Really, it was a different band, even though me and Georgie were the same.
Yeah, oh, to me it was like night and day. Night and day.
So the prac didn't impress you, but then you
saw
the gig.
No, even the gig didn't impress me.
Yeah.
Even the gig. It took a while. Because
and then we did a tour right after that with the Sonics.
Yes, and I went on that.
And Martin.
No, I didn't go on that. That was East Coast. I did
Martin
West Coast Sonics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
Maybe September or August?
November, wasn't it? Oh, no, the first tour, it was
because first
fall.
It was U.S., then it went in Europe.
Yeah, but then when
that's
you came...
I met Carlos.
And then when you guys did the West Coast with Sonics, I went on that.
Yeah.
I was doing short ones because I couldn't get off work. much. I want, as bad as I want to go. I think I only did three or four fire hose tours in total. Two with Devo and the rest with Steve Reed.
So you didn't dig that first gig?
Because I was, in my mindset, I'm still thinking Minutemen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, and like I said, those songs are so ingrained in my brain, and just it wasn't no fault of Edwards, you know. I mean, the guy had, like I said, like when you guys first started, Cojones, like bigger than a house.
Church bells.
Yeah, you know. And he'd never even played live in front of people, huh? Like, played in his dorm room.
He was a trumpet guy at college.
And he was a super nice guy, you know, perfect Midwest, you know, and especially when I met the parents when we'd go back to Ohio. You couldn't get nicer people, you know. Very humble and very, very real. But Edward, the more he played, and it was almost like reactionaries, he got better. You could watch him get better. You know what I mean? You progressively, every other gig, going, whoa, you know, like, he's pulling, you know, wow, look at him do that. You know, the songs would change, you know what I mean? His parts, he was changing. I don't know whether it was on his own, whether in Prac you guys were working on that or not.
No, things change, even with Georgie, because in Minutemen, Georgie used to write his songs.
Right.
And then he stopped writing his songs.
Yeah. I always wondered about that.
He even played more calm. He wasn't as crazy as in the Minutemen.
Yeah. I think. Do you think that maybe that had a lot to do with Dee not being there? That whole dynamic, you know? Like,
maybe, because he used to play so intense in the Minutemen.
It was almost like you guys were challenging each other sometimes. You know what I mean?
And then by Firehose, like, he's more calm.
Firehose is strong, more structured.
Yeah.
More, Yeah, Minutemen, it was almost like you were throwing down, like, you know, like, fuck it. Like, D's just, like, cranking it, just like, oh, man, those chubby fingers just going crazy, man. Joe Biza got it perfect on the We Jam McConnell DVD,
where he's going like that,
and then he hits it, and he knows it, and, like, it's almost like,
he was
bam.
Living downstairs from D Boom when we started the band with Jacoby.
I remember. Yeah. You know where I met Joe Biza? At a Hey Taxi gig. I remember meeting Joe Biza.
I'd see him at punk gigs.
Yeah.
Because he had a distinctive look. He was this Latin guy who had his own look, clothes.
To this day, Watt, when I go to like some of your gigs, or even not your gigs, and I see those people from the old punk days, and, you know, I mean, we're all a lot older, but you remember them.
You remember them.
Some of them, you might not even know them.
No, just saw
them. But you remember them. I remember just going, seeing a band like, I think it's a country rock, BR549, because my brother-in-law couldn't go, and my sister didn't want to go alone, so I went with her to the house of, as Jonesy says, Everything But the Blues. But, you know, those people with the poodle dresses and the chains and the cuffs, but they were all punkers from The Mask and from The Vex and all that. They were dressed now in that attire, doing the swing dance thing. And I was pointing them out to my sister, going, I remember those guys, man. This guy had purple hair, and that girl had a big old safety pin up her nose, and, you know, used to slash people with razors, you know. Now they're, like, poodling it and stuff. So, yeah, that was funny. How things... Who said that?
What was your favorite Firehose tour?
48 State, easy.
That was intense.
It was intense. That was a test.
71 gigs in 73 days.
That was a test.
56 gigs in a row.
I think before we left on it, we were mad at you. Me and Georgie, we were like, fuck, why? Like, why? But you know what? It made you step it up a bit. You know what I mean? It made everybody step it up a bit, because you couldn't be fucking off your game.
Slacking on hell.
Well, except for when we hit Lincoln, Nebraska. Was it Lincoln or Omaha where I had to carry you to the dentist at 6 a.m., 4 a.m.?
No, Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa, in the snow.
As my tooth was just rotted out of my head. This guy shoved a Motrin with a pencil eraser up there. My God.
I
remember I'd go into the boat and just grab onto the steering wheel and scream. And Georgie went to take a nap, and I didn't know he was back there. And I started screaming, and he's like, ah!
Well, I remember after the gig, having to help you off the stage and then having to settle with the boss.
It was called Harry Mary's or something.
Harry Mary's, and it was like a pool hall, you know, like in an industrial area.
I was hurting so bad.
You were like,
you can't put off a toothache. It's no. going to win. It's going to overwhelm.
And I've seen you take some dominate. Pain. I've seen you like handle some pain, but you were crying.
One time the ball blew up in Champagne.
Yeah, Chicago.
Chicago had happened, but by Champagne, I had to go to the emergency room, and I remember that doctor was afraid to touch me. He's like, oh, my God.
That's my white zombie story.
Yeah, that's right.
White zombie.
That's, we end up don't playing because not playing. I'm so sick.
They played with
just one gig.
DC3.
Right.
They played with DC3, and I'll never forget that Rob Zombie guy. You know, I had no idea who they were. I mean, nobody, they were
just a New York City
band. They were just
band
a New York City band. Yeah. And that guy, all he did, he was so mad. Even then, he was a control freak. That all he did was cuss out SST bands, any SST band. He hated SST for some reason, you know. And if he's listening, why? What do you care? What do they do to you? What did Henry fucking spit on you? Kitching gal, Rob Zombie. That was weird.
Man, I remember that, but the antibiotics worked, but I had to wear that hot water bottle. I got chafed so bad for weeks. I had to wear that thing on my
dude. I can come back and do 8 stories about your injuries on tour. The time I picked you up from the Houston airport and you looked like
I caught fire.
Fife and Drum from Shiloh.
Right, doodle dance.
Yeah, he looked like he was marching in from fucking Shiloh or fucking Gettysburg.
I had to do that whole
Drum
tour.
Drum and Fife.
The VW caught fire on me the day before the tour.
The nanny.
That was Hardcore 87.
Yep. I picked you up at the
airport. I remember Martin made T-shirts, and they were like some thin gauze.
From Bangladesh.
Devo made the drawing.
Bangladesh. Great artwork,
it was
great
like
drawing.
A clown with balloons. Every town
Every
was
town
a balloon.
Was a balloon. And you know what's funny about that? About 2 years later, I was in a store, and I looked, and there just happened to be a copy of Bass Player magazine. And Mike Mills from R.E.M. was on there, and I can remember giving all the guys from R.E.M. T-shirts in Athens. They came to the show. And
that's right, because Mike gave me some stuff, Golden Seal. I never scarred from those burns for this shoe
really?
He gave me. Yeah,
I think
this
I remember
kind of
that.
Ointment or something.
But Mike Mills.
He asked me to write him a song. He said he was going to make a solo record, so I wrote that song for
the singer R.E.M. I remember that night.
And then he never made the record, so I said, Edward, will you sing this?
That's the night Edward spent all night talking with him at a cafe.
That's right.
And Edward, yeah.
Because Edward loved R.E.M.
Oh, he loved him, man. He loved. Well, that's how he went to see the Minutemen, the gig in
on the
Columbus gig. Yeah. But Mike Mills had one of those shirts on under a sport coat.
You must have
on the
never
cover
wore
of Bass Player.
Because that thing would wear out in
well,
two washes.
I told people he's probably got it buttoned because it came up to his belly button.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because those things, like two washes, they
I
were
wanted
gone.
To kill Martin. I wanted to kill him. Because I had to sell those things, man. I came back the next tour and people were like, I was apologizing.
I remember they did it in a garage and they were all fumed out from the
with
ink.
With ether. Yeah, with the ether and the ink or whatever. Or whatever they washed the silk screen with.
Yeah, solvent.
They got so high. Shit. They didn't have to buy Molta for a month, I don't think. Just go in the garage. Martin, God bless him, man. He was some kind of entrepreneur, that Martin. Nice guy. But yeah, that was weird, man. So that's you never went with Martin again, huh, after those T-shirts. Thank God.
Hey, you got a song here.
Yes, we do.
What do you got?
I got Alice Bag from back in the day.
Oh, the Bags.
Some
All right,
school.
Here we go. Here we Watt go. From Pedro Show. Yeah.
From Pedro Show. That was some Clash. Richard Bonney picked from Georgie's collection. CBS single of White Riot.
In tribute to the East Indians.
Yeah.
In the streets of London.
Not the idiot who had it painted on his coat at that reactionary's gig in the hood here.
This White Riot has nothing to do with the KKK, believe me. had no KK in mind in this one.
And before that, we had Oaik by Ella Asdy. And then before that was the song Richard picked by the Meat Puppets from their first single called In a Car. And we had Witch in the Club from Quintron before that. Amazing Quintron with his organ. I remember touring with them. We played with them in Denver. I think it was the crew of the Flying Saucer.
In relation to Quinn Martin?
And, they had, his organ bogarted the whole boat, you know. I remember opening side hatches and this huge-ass organ's in there. He's cool. They're living in New Orleans.
You could have learned something from Paul Rossler.
In fact, where they're living, they were having gigs. It was this whole house gig circuit. Yeah.
Ah,
like in Pedro on 13th Street.
Well, I remember touring and having those.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole circuit now where the bands won't even play one club. The whole tour is house parties. Yeah,
That's why I'm into these young Pedro bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carrying the torch.
Carrying
good
the
for
torch.
Them. Good for them.
Todd.
Right on.
And Recess Records. Somebody told me he was a professional skater when he was younger.
I heard that, too. I've only met the man.
And then the skate park, those guys, Andy Harris,
that's
put
right.
together
Craig
that.
Ibarra, lots respect. Of people
oh, yeah.
carrying that torch.
Craig with his Rise in the Fall fanzine.
Yep. That's lots cool. of people paying respects to the
and
old
And we started
old-timers.
off
little set there with another song you picked, Babylonian Gorgon by the Bags. Alice Bag, living in Arizona now, teaching, school teacher.
Fond memories of those gigs.
Yeah, she's great, man. Yeah. Bags are a good band.
Vex. I saw them at the Vex.
You know, I was at one of the Vexes. Ian MacKay was doing his band, The Evens. And, yeah, wow, East L.A., yeah, not a lot of gigs here. And then I recognized the player. This was one of the Vexes.
Yeah.
So it had been like 20 years, more.
And the Vex was a place where there were fucking chingassos, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember Spot got chingassed up.
We went to see Hey Taxi there, me and Mario, one time.
Yeah.
To see Georgie, and we took his van. You know, Georgie went up, you know, on his own. And we had to back out of the place. And you know what? I never was so happy to see L.A. County Sheriffs in my life because they were going to get us. We literally were walking backwards down the stairs. And then all of a sudden we see all these lights. I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, L.A. County Sheriffs. Please escort us to the freeway.
Yeah,
there was some heavy beefs,
those guys. But one time police helped me in Holland. These people were all over the rental van and very angry because it was with Bad Brains and too many tickets got sold.
Uh-huh.
So, the Dutch police squirted them off with fire hose. I was sad to see them get squirted like that, but I'm glad the boat didn't get destroyed.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
You never know. Well, we didn't have the problem with Buttle Surfers in Dallas, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And they... And
that was terrible.
The
ticket said rain or shine. And I remember the Stone Temple guy wouldn't let his band on without monitors because the rain went on the monitors. And I go, wow.
Well, plus there was lightning in the air, too.
Yeah, but we played.
Hey.
You know?
But you were fire.
And then I saw the cops strapping on their stuff and getting the pepper spray ready and laughing.
And we headed to the bar. Mosey on. We saw it on TV.
In the boat.
Yeah, we had.
Remember, we
had to get out of there. We had to get out of there. But we saw it on TV, and there.
That was a weird tour. Remember, I wore that suit and I had a big beard, and
it was hot.
I took it all off at Red Rocks. I got all naked and shaved the beard off.
Who shaved you? No, someone shaved you.
Who shaved me?
It was a crew guy.
I had a Germs armband.
Yep. Yeah, you wore the Germs armband the whole time.
Yeah.
You were even on
a gig. It was a summer tour. I remember we started in Miami. Me and Steve Reed had to drive.
That's when me and Georgie drove.
And you guys drove Edward.
Edward flew. Me and Georgie drove
the Aerostar.
Aerostar. And we almost got... I'd still be in prison in Texas. That's the story for another day, though. Had nothing to do with midgets or goats. Just me and a little Georgie. But God, that's another time I was... So happy to be driving away from those blue coats.
If you drive through Texas east west, it's 880 miles.
It's 3 days, man. You wake up. You go to sleep.
I remember we were in Van Horn in western Texas, and bright, cloudless summer sky, and all of a sudden this storm rolled in, and the boat is being hammered with hail. It was like somebody beating us with ball peen hammers. Me and Steve Reed, I'm laughing. So we start that tour in Miami.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Brutal. But still.
It is fun, though.
Yeah, a tour is a tour. And
it's a
righteous opportunity.
Speaking of that tour, to this day, the food guy from L.A. Times, Jonathan Gold. L.A. Weekly. Or L.A. Times, too. Jonathan Gold, he was interviewing the Stone Temple Pilots. And Georgie forgot me in Orlando. Okay, you probably don't know this because I was still riding with Georgie at the time, and you and Steve were still in the equipment van. Georgie forgot me, or lost me, or deliberately left me in Orlando, and I jumped in. I had my mountain bike. I jumped in the Stone Temple Pilots tour bus all the way to Birmingham from Orlando, and that dude Jonathan Gold was doing an interview for Rolling Stone with them, and me and the dude, the brother, the guitar player, got a little tipsy. And the dude thought I was you. He thought he was riding with Mike Watt. And then I ripped
Dean.
Him. Yeah, and then I ripped him an asshole. He thought it was you the whole time. And about 2 years ago, I'm reading an article, and he goes, and he recalled that. And he goes, that's almost as bad as riding on a tour bus with Mike Watt from Florida to Alabama. I swear to God, he said that in the article.
I wasn't there.
It wasn't you, but he thought I was you. All he knew was some dude from Firehose was also in the bus, all drunk. Me and Dean were wrestling. These guys tried to do an interview. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he thought it was Mike Watt.
Merch Bonnie, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome, Mike Watt.
All the old stories, all the old memories, and playing the music.
I finally had to sneak in. He would never let me be on, so yeah. I had to climb through his window today with
Georgie's
records.
And a special, unique Brother Matless Watt from Pedro show, but he'll be back for the next one. He's at the Burning Man, burning it up.
If he doesn't catch on fire, he will be back.
Yeah. And
be safe, Brother Matt.
I got to go to... Yeah, be safe, Brother Matt. We miss you. And I got to go do these Europe gigs, but I'll be back for another one. This has been the August 27, 2006 edition of Watt from Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.